And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness. Sometimes I get a good feeling. The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Hi everyone, good morning to you. Welcome to the House of Wellness. It is Ed Phillips here. We're beaming out across 3AW, 2GB, 4BC, 5AA and 6PR, which takes us right around the country. And I'm joined by the Daily Edition's Sally Obermater. Hi Sal.
Hello, happy Sunday everybody.
Nice to have you with us, along with our favourite pharmacist and medical herbalist to boot, Gerald Quigley. G'day.
Good morning, Ed. Terrific to see you, Sal. You're right with that microphone,
yeah,
Sal?
To those at home, I forgot to drag the microphone across. It's a bit hard to speak to you, isn't it, without it?
Like a wrestling manoeuvre, but we got there. Guys, no matter where you're joining us from and having a listen in for the next 60 minutes or so, this hour is here to help you get well, stay well, live well and look fabulous. And we have one phone number, which is all you need to know for the next hour. 131 873. We'll have the phone lines open across the course of the next hour or so, and all our callers today go into the draw for a $100 gift voucher to go and spend at any Chemist Warehouse store. And you might have questions about some medication you've got, some aches or pains or ailments, maybe breathing difficulties, which we'll discuss at length a little bit later on with one of our guests. We're starting to focus on asthma because of all the terrible weather we've had, the smoke, fire, haze as well, and it's bringing up a lot of asthma and breathing difficulties.
Definitely. We're going to chat with the... Sometimes even for people who don't actually didn't have asthma before, as much, even like, I guess what you'd say, people with healthy lungs are still struggling as well because the conditions are so severe.
Yeah, so we'll chat with the National Asthma Council of Australia CEO, and they put out a warning, in fact, in the last few days to those people, especially those near bushfire-affected areas. And some steps that we need to take. Also, on our radar, the A to Z of vitamins. What are we looking at today, Joe?
Vitamin D3 today, Ed and Sally, sometimes called the sunshine vitamin, but it has lots of other benefits that often we underestimate. So we think D3, we think bones. That's only part of the picture, and we'll discuss the other things.
Okay, great.
Now, the World Health Organization this week has declared this coronavirus epidemic in China a public health emergency of international concern. In fact, they've only declared this on a handful of occasions, haven't they?
Yes, they have. I think SARS was one of them. Excuse me.
And MERS in fact, was the other,
that's
cell.
That's right, it was. And in fact, earlier in the week, you know, I think they were sort of saying, listen, it's not as bad. The World Health Organization hasn't called it an emergency. And then I think we got to, I think it was either Thursday or Friday, and they called it and said no. This is it now.
It's something of a political red flag, isn't it? But it's all about containment of this virus. We have something around the 11,000 mark of people infected, and it's taken some 260-odd lives, most of those in China, of course.
It will be fascinating to talk to our virologist coming up very soon. I sat down last night and put some questions together. I'm up to number 10, so I'm not sure how much time we have to talk to the virologist, but part of the problem is that there's constant changes. So news this morning will be completely superseded by news this afternoon, and sometimes it's difficult for the average person to understand what's going on.
Yeah,
we're seeing steps of Australians being quarantined, as it were, for those who've been in the epicentre in Wuhan in China as well.
Yep.
And there's around 600 Aussies or so who are waiting to be repatriated from there. We've got 9 people alone in quarantine suffering from the virus as well. And and the thing is, too, there's several in Europe as well that are now sort of starting to pop up on the radar as well. So we'll chat with Professor Bill Rawlinson, who'll join us next. He's the New South Wales Health Pathology Senior Medical Virologist, and we'll get the latest from him. There's plenty to cover, and you can reach us too via our website, as always, houseofwellness.com.au, and don't forget our phone number. We'll have the lines open over the coming hour. 131 873. Lots to cover. We're here for your health. It's a little healthy tune-up Sunday mornings, as always. Back after this break on the House of Wellness.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Protect the fun this summer with Banana Boat Sport SPF 50+. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
Well, if you want the biggest brands at the lowest prices, then head to Chemist Warehouse today. You can save on big brand vitamins like Go Healthy Iron 1-A-Day 30 Veggie Capsules, just $7.99. Healthy Care Wild Krill Oil, 1,000 milligrams, 60 capsules, at just $14.24. For $16.99, you can buy any Wagner Vitamin C 1000, the 250 capsules, and try Swiss Ulti Boost Vitamin D, the 400 caps, for only $18.99. So for great savings every day, come home to Chemist Warehouse.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia, thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Well, as we've just discussed, this deadly coronavirus is rapidly spreading across the globe, with seemingly no end in sight as yet. And it comes as the World Health Organization declared a global health emergency. And as Aussie scientists made a breakthrough in the battle against this deadly virus, successfully growing it in the laboratory. Now, we're told this discovery could speed up the development of a vaccine for the virus and, of course, improve testing. And Professor Bill Rawlinson, who is the New South Wales Health Pathology Senior Medical Virologist, will hopefully explain things are developing at light speed, and he joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Ed.
Well, we learned only a week or so ago they'd essentially mapped the genome in rapid speed, hadn't they? And then this leads to a cascade of developments. We're seeing hospitals being built at breakneck speed. It's all rather breathtaking in all at once.
It is. I think that we've learned a lot from SARS, we've learned a lot from MERS, we've learned a lot from avian influenza, and I think there are a lot more resources and we are better than we were, although clearly we could be even better.
Go ahead, Sel.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, Professor, when we say something is a global health emergency, what does that actually mean?
It's basically a formal declaration. So what it means is that the WHO takes on a view that this is a public health risk, that it's internationally spread, and so we need to coordinate internationally. That may seem obvious, although, of course, if something is a local issue, then internationally we typically don't get involved. So it's really the fact that it's spread beyond an individual country, and that there's been worldwide involvement, and that from the WHO point of view means we need to coordinate more closely. And that's really very an uncommon event. For example, it happened during the 2009 influenza epidemic. Some people have called it swine flu. That epidemic was a public health emergency of international concern.
Bill, it's Gerald Quigley here. I'm a pharmacist, and we're getting lots of queries from people who are concerned about the ongoing and daily reports, where you read news in the morning and that's sometimes contradicted in the afternoon. So there's and the Australian yesterday, full page, China's ticking time bomb, which tends to set you concerned a little bit. Can you explain to me the issues we have around asymptomatic transmission, which seems to be happening at the moment?
Look, I think they're very important points. The first point would be it is changing very rapidly, and as you would expect, we're learning about this novel coronavirus as we go. We know a lot about coronaviruses, and we do know a lot about SARS. The SARS virus is very similar to this novel coronavirus. When we're talking about responses, we therefore need to learn the way the virus interacts with the populations. And, of course, it's going to interact differently in a country like China with a very large population mm-hmm. to in a country like Australia. What we did think at the start, and we still know, is that most spread occurs during symptomatic times. So lots of symptoms, you know, sore throat, fever, even going on to pneumonia, and, of course, sadly, in some cases, going on to death. Lots of virus around. It kind of makes sense. Mm. When people are asymptomatics, or that is, they don't notice any symptoms, maybe they have a little bit more sputum, and in a couple of cases that have been called asymptomatic, they probably had very mild symptoms. Small amounts of virus present, smaller risk of transmission, but still a risk of transmission. And so we do know that you can transmit it before you get symptoms. And so that's made a difference to how we respond at a public health level.
So, Professor, who would be most at risk of catching the virus?
So again, good question. Important to separate who's at risk of catching it and who's at risk of having the worst symptoms and potentially dying. Anybody can catch it. The risks have been mostly initially within Hebei province and particularly within the city of Wuhan and concentrated around the markets. What's happened is that that spread very rapidly through the Chinese population, and particularly since SARS, we've got many more flights in and out of those areas, and it spread quite rapidly initially through China and is now in multiple provinces, and that's why the travel guidance and the screening guidance has changed to all of China. So that's still the highest risk. Within other countries, we've seen small numbers of spread between cases. So Germany, Japan, I think, were the initial ones. And what's happened is that there's still risk of spread, but because there's different social situations, that risk is still low in countries outside of China. Although, clearly, the public health issues are addressed at those symptomatic patients who may spread. And so things like masks, self-isolation, monitoring, all those things have reduced the spread, thankfully, so far. Those who are at highest risk of problems seem to be the elderly. So it's different to the 2009 pandemic when we saw young people and pregnant women, if you remember, to be affected by severe disease. At the moment, the majority of the deaths have occurred in older people with other underlying diseases. Yeah.
Which is reassuring in a way. The Journal of Virology just recently said that they predict that just a single mutation could significantly enhance the Wuhan coronavirus's ability to bind with the human genome. Is that cause for extra concern?
I think that that's consistent to some extent with what we know about coronaviruses. They do mutate, what we have seen so far with the sequences of the genetic sequences of the virus done outside of China is that we have not seen major mutations, but it's a natural part of the coronavirus life cycle to mutate and then eventually to die out. So the virus actually, we haven't had SARS cases for now about 16 or 15 years. Mm-hmm. That's what we see with coronaviruses naturally. We see, of course, about a third of colds. It's important to say a third of colds are probably due to coronaviruses. Sure. They mutate as well, and we don't see this mutation to more severe disease. Mm-hmm. Clearly, it's an important thing to keep an eye on, and that's why we need research, and that's why we need, as Ed mentioned at the start, the genome of the virus, and we need that to be done to follow the virus genetically to see if that does occur. It's always something that we keep a close eye on, and with our facilities now, we're able to do that. It is a concern, but I believe that at the moment we haven't seen that mutation occurring, and what we hope is this virus tends to come rapidly and then disappear. And what we'd like is for it to disappear.
Definitely. I think everyone's in that same boat. One of the big concerns, obviously, is about how it spreads. And we know, for example, if somebody who has a coronavirus, you know, coughs on you and then you put, you know, your hand to your mouth or whatever, that's how it spread, like the normal flu. But what about, for example, and that's why we keep people in isolation, but what about like in the air conditioning? Can it spread through that? Like, because you've got people worried about, you know, can they stay in the same hotel where we've got the Chinese women's national soccer team who are in isolation in this Brisbane hotel? Can they stay there, or is it going to spread through the air conditioning? What do you think about that?
I think it's really important to take a step back into the sort of basics of how viruses cause disease. You not only have to get a virus, but you have to get a lot of it, and you have to get in a condition where it can grow in your body, and you've got to get it in the right place. So exactly as you said, somebody coughs into your face, that's a lot of virus, it's alive, it's in the right place in your nose, then that's a likely scenario where you're going to get spread. The air conditioning spread of viruses is really very, very rare. So respiratory viruses don't spread that way easily. And in fact, it's very rare to see that. With SARS coronavirus, You may recall there was an outbreak in Hong Kong where it was felt that that spread via the air conditioning, and that was shown. That was a very specific condition where the outlets from the bathrooms were close to the air conditioning inlets, and SARS, we know, is spread particularly by people who are called super spreaders in the feces. And so that was delivering a large load right next to an air conditioning unit that then went into somebody's room and potentially into their face. That's very different to a large hotel. Air conditioning units now have filters on them, HEPA filters, and the likelihood of that form of spread is extremely low. It's almost negligible. I mean, in medicine, we very rarely say negligible, but you have to have a very specific situation where that can occur, and that doesn't seem to be the case with this coronavirus. We're not seeing that same kind of spread.
Mm-hmm. Bill, do you see an end in sight? Do you see a finite time, based on MERS, based on SARS, that this issue will hang around?
Hope for the best, plan for the worst. I think that we're seeing a much lower fatality rate with this coronavirus. It's currently less than 2%, and most of our view is that it's less than 1%, whereas with SARS we saw it at 9%. Sure. We, on the natural history of coronaviruses, we would expect this to disappear in a period of months. We hope for that, and clearly appropriate public health measures, containment, reducing spread, doing all the things we've talked about, public health measures, masks, isolation, reduces the number of cases, and thereby, you know, I think that we will be seeing it disappearing. You never predict exactly how soon, but if it's like other coronaviruses, it hopefully will be within months, and that's what public health is about. If not, then you make different plans.
Professor, you mentioned masks there. What else can we do to protect ourselves against the virus, and should we all be wearing masks?
I think the last one's easy. No, we should not all be wearing masks, because masks are really for a specific situation, and they don't work all day. They're uncomfortable, and people typically can't wear them for, you know, days upon end, even sometimes hours. The first part is also, in a way, there are very clear guidelines, and I'd encourage people to look at the New South Wales Health website, to look at the CDC website, look at the WHO website. They have very clear guidelines about what to do, but it's really sensible stuff. It's the stuff your parents told you as kids. You know, don't be around people who are coughing. If you're coughing, cough into your elbow. If you're sneezing, into a tissue, into the bin. Wash your hands regularly, because that's one of the ways of spreading it. Don't touch your face. And if you think you might have either contact with a coronavirus infected person, or you've been in an appropriate setting and you might have symptoms, ring your GP, ring the emergency department and talk to them. And you can get a test. The test is available very freely. We do it in our laboratory. It's done out at Westmead. It's done at Randwick in our laboratories at Savard. And that test is available 7 days a week. And so the sensible things that everybody knows about, the same things as you do for flu.
Okay. Now, we saw a vision of people wearing upturned water bottles over their heads, those who weren't able to get masks. I'm going to just go out on a limb here and say that doesn't seem like it's going to be an effective option, and I just wanted to confirm that with you, Professor.
I think upturned bottles on heads are a thing for Devo fans, and not a way of preventing, preventing stuff, but they're coronavirus or other respiratory viruses, but they make good press.
They sure do. Look, it felt like I was silly asking, but I just wanted to confirm that. And I'm glad I did.
So you can take that bottle off your head now.
But we might put a Devo track on a little bit later, because that's brought up some great memories. Appreciate your time this morning, of course, Professor. Thank you so much for that.
That's great. It's important. Thank you.
Professor Bill Rawlinson joining us there on the House of Wellness, New South Wales Health Pathology Senior Medical Virologist. Things really are developing at breakneck speed, aren't they? And we sort of suspected when they said we're going to build a hospital and we're going to do it in 10 days. And then we're going to do another one in 15 days. Mm. And it's more for isolating. And they could probably do with another 3 or 4 of these hospitals, couldn't they? So we'll watch this space. But it's perhaps one of these things that will eventually run its course. We're talking about flu viruses adapting and mutating, and they do every year. There's a different strain, isn't there?
Yes.
What sort of speed do these things mutate at? It's not Darwin-esque adaptation and mutation over the life of species.
Not quite, but given, like most things, given the right environment, which in China is closely packed people, probably hygiene that's perhaps questionable compared to our standards, and therefore it takes off. But as Professor Bill mentioned, it's the mutation, the changing of this virus, which potentially brings another threat. And that's what hopefully they've got on top of. And bear in mind, they were able to, here at the Doherty Institute in Melbourne, they were able to replicate that virus within days, which is quite remarkable, because the others took weeks and sometimes months.
Absolutely. All right, watch this space. We'll keep you updated, of course, here on the House of Wellness. Next up, we'll take some of your calls. 131-873 is our number. All our callers going to air, of course, this morning. Get themselves in the draw to score a very handy $100 gift voucher, which you can go and spend at any Chemist Warehouse store. We'll take your calls after this break. We're back in a sec.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Protect the fun this summer with Banana Boat Sport SPF 50+. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
Well, if you'd like the biggest brands at the lowest prices, then you need to head to Chemist Warehouse and do it today. You can save on big brand vitamins like Go Healthy, Iron, One A Day. The 30 veggie capsules are just $7.99. You can buy any Wagner Vitamin C 1000 250 capsules for only $16.99. Healthy Care Wild Krill Oil, 1000 milligram, 60 capsules for just $14.24. Or you can try Swiss Ulti Boost Vitamin D. The 400 capsules are only $18.99. For great savings every day. Come home to Chemist Warehouse.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
It is Ed Phillips joined by Gerald Quigley and Sally Obermeider. We have just the one phone number you need to remember, 131-873. Tamar has been waiting on the line patiently in Homebush. Good to come to you this morning. How can we help you out?
Hi, I was just wondering, how much intake of calcium can a child have in a day?
Tamar, the important thing is you have enough to keep everything working well. So if you enjoy regular dairy, so I'm not talking about low-fat dairy because I've never actually seen a low-fat cow. So regular dairy, regular milk, cheese, yogurt, plus some nuts and things like that. You'll get calcium also from green leafy veggies. Now, if you get growing pains, which are pains in the back of your legs, usually when you're trying to go to sleep at night, that shows that you need more calcium. If you're not getting that from your food, there are small dose calcium supplements that you can take. And away you go. And Sal, you're in this sort of age group with yours.
Yeah, I am. So, Tamar, you need to make sure you're having, as Gerald said, you know, dairy. So milk, yogurt, cheese and non-fat, so full fat. And the other things that you can get it from is also any kind of fish with bones. So, so I don't know if you're into sardines or tinned salmon, but they are also good sources of calcium. And you want to try, I think, around about, look, I'm not a, you know, I'm not a doctor, unfortunately, but I'd say around 3 serves a day and regular. So I think that's the key with anything. You want to make sure it's regular. So it's not that like, oh, on Fridays you have your dairy. It's like actually a regular thing that you would have every day.
Alrighty. Thank you so much for your call. We love that you're listening to us. Jackie, we're coming to you in Pakenham in Melbourne. Hello.
Hi. Yeah, I have dry eyes and mouth when I go to sleep at night, and then in the daytime it's a horrible taste.
In your area, Jackie, you've had lots of smoke and lots of particulate matter, as we all have in Victoria. Now, you can offset dryness symptomatically, both eyes and mouth. The overall thing, though, Jackie, is fish omega-3s. You need a high essential fatty acid content of omega-3s, and you take them regularly, twice a day, every day. There are lots of different moisturisers for your eyes that your pharmacist will show. My favourite is one you carry around and you spray on a closed eye, which is a lot easier. Mm. It doesn't destroy your makeup. It
feels
doesn't upset
so nice.
Ed's mascara. And the other thing, dry mouth, there are a number of rinses. There's a gum and there's other things that you can take to help produce salivary enzymes. So all of these things, and of course, you keep your water intake up if you can. It's been very humid in Victoria. So all of those things, little package of things.
Did you hear quickly? Okay. He says, use that. It won't make my mascara. Joan, good morning in East Melbourne. We're here to help you out.
My friend, who's in her late 50s,
yes,
just started a course for no smoking, 14 yes, days on a tablet.
Yes.
And now the doctor has told her they can be suicidal and to tell somebody she's taking them. And she's told me, but I don't live next door to her. I'm a couple of suburbs away.
Right.
And I'm wondering what I should be aware of that she might not
yes,
be well.
Isn't it nice, Joan, to have friends that just unload on you and then you take all the worry away from them?
Well, I don't mind, but I don't quite know what to look for.
Well, look, but let me reassure you. These medications are designed to alter your brain function to render smoking less enjoyable. That's how they work.
Yes.
But because of that, it can make you feel a little different. Now, at the end of the tree, that's suicidal stuff. Sometimes people get a little withdrawn, and if you see this person, you will notice, of course, that they've got a natural personality. But I think the thing to do is perhaps ring them every day or so and just say, how are you feeling? How are you getting on? Are they working? And just give support. But we don't, even though we see sometimes some changes, that drastic result, which is an awful thing, I think, to say, that drastic result we don't often see.
Mm. Thank you so much for your call, Joan, and your concern, and let us know how your friend is faring, please. Diane's in Como. We're coming to you. Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Hello, Diane. How can we help?
I have a grandson who is 13 years of age. He is autistic.
Mm-hmm.
He never eats, and he is just skin and bones. He's 13, he's tall, and really he looks anorexic. I'm just wondering if there is something out there like a tonic that he could have that could help him with his appetite, because the medication that he has
yes,
seems to suppress his appetite.
And we often see that, Diane, and it's a risk and benefit type thing, isn't it? Look, I've got a couple of suggestions. Diane, there are tonics available, and you, as a grandma, you remember when we gave our kids tonics, but the system doesn't like that word tonic now for some reason or other, which really annoys me, because a tonifying, supporting nutritional substance actually fills the gaps that often these children need. Two thoughts. Go to your pharmacy and have a look at what tonics are available. And if they are unsure, please send me an email to houseofwellness.com.au and the Ask tab, and I'll list two or three. And the other is, and Sel may be able to help us here, maybe engage him in preparing the food. Make it a fun. Make him valued in preparing food that he might enjoy, and he can then be part of the whole thing. What do you think, Sel?
I think that's a great idea. I think if that's possible, I think that is excellent. The other thing is, I think, is if there are things that he likes, just go with what he likes and try. And so say, for example, his favourite thing, say, was like a spaghetti, then like a bolognese, then you could just try and make sure you're adding in there some good fats. You could get some ghee. That way, because you want to try and get a balance of things into the small number of meals that he's eating. That way, it kind of takes the pressure off everyone and everyone's not kind of hounding him and you guys aren't worried. So if you added in some ghee, or if you added in some carrot or zucchini, or like, you want to basically work with what he likes and then see how you guys can kind of add in some extra stuff in there to make what he is eating as I guess, as healthy and as nutritious and as supportive as possible.
Great advice, Diane. Thank you so much for your call. We wish you all the best. 131873 is our number. We'll take more of your calls after this. We're also going to chat with the CEO of the National Asthma Council of Australia. They put out a warning to people this week for those who have been near bushfire areas or been exposed to prolonged smoke and haze, as well as all the crazy weather we've been having lately as well, to watch out for extra asthma and allergy risks. And she is our guest after this quick break here on the House of Wellness.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Protect the fun this summer with Banana Boat Sport SPF 50+. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
And it is the place to head for if you want the biggest brands at the lowest prices. And you can save on big brand vitamins like these. The Go Healthy Iron, one a day, 30 vegetable capsules, just $7.99. Healthy Care Wild Krill Oil, 1,000 milligrams, 60 caps, are just $14.24. You can buy any Wagner Vitamin C 1000, the 250 caps bottle, for only $16.99. And you can try out Swiss UltiBoost, the vitamin D 400 caps, are only $18.99. So for great savings every day, come home to Chemist Warehouse.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
No denying our weather has been crazy, and the National Asthma Council is advising the people near the bushfire areas or those who've been exposed to prolonged smoke and haze, as well as all the recent storms and flash flooding we've seen in the last week or so, that they need to watch out for extra asthma and allergy risks as well. And it comes as we've seen this extreme weather and the return of high temperatures likely to trigger some further flare-ups for those who have asthma. To tell us more, we're joined by the National Asthma Council CEO Siobhan Brophy, who's with us on the line. Welcome, Siobhan.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. Let's go through what we need to do. Those who have asthma, first up, what do they need to do to protect themselves further, if possible?
It's very much around being aware that this is not a normal time of year and that you need to take good care of yourself. So if you've been in one of those affected areas, the bushfire affected areas, it's a very stressful situation and it's easy to just, you know, think, push on through, I'll just get this cleaned up, I need to try and get back to some normality. But pushing past any of those symptoms where your breathing's struggling, you're getting the chest tightness and pushing on, that's not going to put you in good stead for the long haul. And you really need to keep front of mind that your asthma could be triggered by what's going on as well.
What are some of the signs you think, Siobhan, that they need to look out for?
It's the normal signs of an asthma flare-up, which is chest tightness, cough, a wheeze, and a feeling of breathlessness. But anybody who's been exposed to the dense smoke or is trying to do the clean-up can also have lung problems like that, can be triggered like that because of all the toxins and the ash and goodness knows what that they're going to be exposed to when they're trying to clean up a property. So it's not just people with asthma, it's anybody who's in that situation. You know, I'm saying, you know, don't just push on through. If you're starting to feel like you're not breathing properly, go and get some help. Go and speak to your doctor about it. Mm-hmm.
Siobhan, asthma, in my view, like a number of chronic diseases, becomes a blasé disease. It settles and then people begin to get very blasé, forget about the preventers and until something goes pear-shaped. And we often hear about an asthma plan. You know, you're told go and have your asthma plan updated. How do people get asthma plans and why are so few people aware of the importance of an asthma plan?
An asthma plan is your own personal set of instructions of how to look after your asthma. So it's got your day-to-day things that you should do to try and keep yourself well, and then it steps through what to do if your asthma starts to flare up.
And so that's issued by your doctor, is that right?
Yeah, and so you talk to your doctor about that, and your pharmacist can also help in terms of, once you've got one, working out, okay, do you know exactly what this step means, and this is the medication that happens at this step. So it's a conversation between you and your doctor around, look, what do you need to do each day to keep well? And then what can you do if things are starting to flare up? And whether that's, okay, you're starting to get a cold and you need to start to do some steps, or you're going to be in this situation where you'll be exposed to the smoke or things like that, and what do you need to do personally to keep yourself well?
There are obviously confirmed asthmatics, aren't there? But what about those who are unknowingly, perhaps, or on the periphery of being diagnosed as an asthmatic? You're seeing a rise in inquiries or those presenting with asthma-like symptoms that they never have ever had before?
I think the smoke haze that we've had across, well, it feels like most of Australia, that's really been a problem for a lot of people, because even if you've got good and healthy lungs, then being exposed to that kind of irritation, that smoke haze, is not a comfortable situation. And it might be showing up for some people that actually the things they've sort of been vaguely ignoring, or they were doing okay, but actually no, they're not coping well in this sort of smoke haze. And it is a good prompt to go and see your doctor and say, look, I've been having this sort of a problem. Is there something else going on underlying that this has now shown up?
Alrighty, appreciate the heads up. Thanks so much for your time this morning, Siobhan.
Happy to help.
Lovely to hear from you. Siobhan Brophy there, the CEO of the National Asthma Council. All righty, a couple more of your calls. We've got time to sneak some in. Helen's in Carrickbar this morning. We'll come to you. Hello.
Morning, Helen.
Hi, Cheryl. Yeah.
Thanks for waiting on. How can we help?
That's okay. I've got COPD stroke asthma with 30% lung function. But for months prior to the smoke, I'm suffering from headaches and lightheadedness. I've also got post-nasal drip. I was put also on rosuvastatin because I had a coronary angiogram test, but I think that made me even worse, and I've stopped taking it. I was also put on amitriptyline for the headaches and told to take 10 milligrams a night. I only took 5 milligrams, I cut them in half. I've cut them right out now. I've still got the problem, but not as bad as when I was on the rosuvastatin and the amitriptyline. I'm at my wit's end and I've got low energy. I'm tired.
Well, that's probably understandable with all that, Helen. A couple of suggestions this morning, but please drop me an email today and I'll respond to you with a comprehensive list of suggestions to offset most of those symptoms. But the first thing is to stop that post-nasal drip, which is contributing to a lot of this, with isotonic saline without a preservative, and you can use that in a nasal mist, which is brilliant and easy. And the other thing for your lung strength is green-lipped mussel. You can buy this in capsule form. It boosts lung function, lung strength. It's an anti-inflammatory, and that'll get you started. But I look forward to your email, and I'll get onto that today.
Simply hit up our website, houseofwellness.com.au. This is for all our listeners, by the way. There'll be a bunch of tabs up the top of our homepage. There's an Ask tab, and you can put your queries forward to Gerald, and he'll respond to those. Let's take a little break. The A to Z of Vitamins coming up on the other side of this as well.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Protect the fun this summer with Banana Boat Sport SPF 50+. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
Been a busy show this morning here on the House of Wellness. One last call before we go. Anne is in Gaimea waiting patiently. Hello to you.
Hello, Anne.
Oh, good morning. Look, a couple of weeks ago you had a lady on who had shingles in the left-hand side of her head.
Yes.
I've got it in the right-hand side of my head.
Oh, you poor thing.
Mm-hmm. You advised her to take vitamin C and something else.
Yes, lipoic acid it was, Anne. L-I-P-O-I-C. It comes in a 400-milligram tablet. You take it twice a day, and it gives you brilliant reduction in pain, of that neuropathic pain that just drives you mad.
Fantastic.
So, lipoic acid.
Good luck with that. A to Z of Vitamins time. What are we looking at today?
Vitamin D3, Ed, and we've had so many discussions this morning on immune function and staying well. Mm. Vitamin D3, one a day, will help reduce, and this is clinically proven, reduce the incidence of flu by 42%. Now, if you extrapolate that into potentially the issues that we're confronting at the moment, it's pretty good insurance. So vitamin D3, 1,000 units, one per day, a good insurance policy.
And what's the relationship, it's an interesting one, between sunshine and our bone strength? Which we associate with calcium, don't we?
Yes, we do. Sunshine shines on our skin, and with cholesterol in our skin, it helps produce one form of vitamin D, which is then sent off and converted to a usable form, and that helps us absorb calcium from food, and away we go. We get strong bones.
Absolutely. Plenty of sunshine in the summer months, but something certainly to consider as winter comes our way. All righty, the A to Z of Vitamins brought to us by Microgenics, delivering you macro benefits, and that's available exclusively at Chemist Warehouse as well. Been a fantastic show. Loved sharing the airwaves with you today, and we had so many great callers. Is there one that stands out for you?
What a pity we can't give everyone the $100 voucher. But today, it was Jackie of Pakenham with all her dryness issues, very common at this time of the year. So, Jackie, you are the winner of the $100 Chemist Warehouse gift voucher. Congratulations.
1 week. Why don't we just go a bit off the reservation, give everyone $100 voucher? Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, that'll be good.
I'll say it was your recommendation.
You and I are the trouble. Please, blame it on me. Thank you, Ed.
When I get the call, I'll say it was Gerald's idea.
Well, I'm just going to blame
Sally.
Such
Sally. A good friend, aren't you?
That'll get you
thanks
back
for your help this morning, everybody.
Mascara gag. Thank you. Have a beautiful Sunday. Sal, thanks for being with us.
Happy Sunday, thanks, everybody.
Sal. And we will catch you again next Sunday for the hour exclusively dedicated to your health and well-being, to help you get well and stay well, live well and look fabulous. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you for another edition next Sunday of the House of Wellness.